in 1 Peter chapter 3 and reading verses 1 to 9. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Joe and Anna, dressing you in particular for a while this afternoon, I would direct your attention to those words that we find in particular at the end of verse 7, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And I want us to consider those two words, heirs and prayers, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. But first of all, to say something with regards to that expression, the grace of life. The word grace reminds us that all life, every sort of life, is a free gift from God. And how true that is with regards to our natural and our physical lives. As the psalmist says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are the creatures of his hand. And Job, there in the book of Job in chapter 12, he declares, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. The very air that we breathe is the gift of our Creator. He is the author of every good and of every perfect gift. For in him we live and move and have our being, says the Apostle Paul. Oh, how true it is then that our very life, this life that we're living today, is a gift from God. And it is God who preserves us. Again, the psalmist addresses him, O Lord, he says, thou preservest man and beast. But here in this text, this seventh verse, where Peter speaks of the grace of life, it's not so much that physical, that natural life that we're living. But surely here he has in mind that new life and that eternal life which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says himself in the course of his ministry concerning those who are his people, those who are the sheep of his pasture, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Remembering then that gift, not so much of physical life, but spiritual life, the life of God in the soul of the sinner. It is that both Job and Anna have been favoured with, that life that is in the Lord Jesus, heirs together of the grace of life. Well, what is it? What is it to be an heir of this true spiritual life? Well, we might ask another question. What is usually involved in being an heir? Well, the heir is, of course, one who is a child of the family. The heir of all that his parents possess. But by nature, none of us are those who are really children of God. God might be our creator, but alas, we're in an awful condition of enmity against God. We're those who are born dead in trespasses and in sins, having the understanding darkened, says Paul, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in us because of the blindness of our hearts. By nature, we're those who are children of wrath. We're children of disobedience. How is it then that any can be an heir of God, an heir of that grace of life that we read of here in the text? Well, I want to mention, reminding both Joe and Anna in particular, of three great biblical truths concerning those who are the heirs of the grace of life. And what are these great truths that we have set before us in Scripture with regards to these people, the heirs of God? Firstly, there is that great truth of adoption. They have been adopted into the family of God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the only begotten Son of God. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. But those who are heirs are such as God has purposed to have mercy upon. He has adopted them. In the language of Paul in Ephesians 1, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He has adopted, such as Anna and Joe. And Paul says, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. There is that great truth then of adoption. Though by nature we're in that condition of enmity and alienation, to be adopted by God, to become his child, to call upon him as our Father which art in heaven. But then, the other great truth of Scripture that is so necessary in the experience of those who are the heirs of God is what we call regeneration, or the new birth. The new birth. The Lord Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. There must be that new life brought into the soul of those who by nature are dead in trespasses and sins. The Lord says it time and again there in John's Gospel, chapter 3, ye must be born again, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Or a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Born again, born from above. That great work that comes into the soul of the sinner, that mighty work of the Spirit of God, where there is the communication of new life, of spiritual life, the doctrine of regeneration, and so closely associated with that, the third thing that we must know is what is termed God's effectual call. And we see it here in the passage that we read, the end of verse 9. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Called that ye should inherit a blessing. To hear God's call, God's voice. The hymn writer says, the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace, to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. This is how the gospel has to come to us. This is how the gospel came to so many of those who were favoured to hear the preaching of the apostles there in the New Testament. When Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he says, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And again he says to them, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Oh, that word of God, it works effectually. It's efficacious, it's powerful. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And as God's call is effectual in the soul of that sinner, so that sinner is moved to call upon God. God calls. And God calls in that mighty way. And the sinner cannot but then call upon God. And that brings us to this other word, prayers. Prayers. Heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, Joe and Anna, I know that each of you have prayed personally. You sought God individually. You're well aware that real religion is something personal. It's a matter between you and God. It's true of each and every one of us. We all have to give our individual account unto him. And you are those who have sought him. Or the encouragement that we have to seek him. The Lord Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Every encouragement. Ye shall seek me and find me, says the Lord, when ye shall search after me with all your heart. And you too. Each of you have sought him in that fashion and found him, or rather, you're those who have been found of him. You've not only prayed individually, I'm sure that you have also, in the years that you've been courting, you've prayed together. You've read the scriptures together. And I would urge that you continue with that, reading the word of God daily, family worship, and heeding the words that we find in scripture. These very practical directions and precepts that we find. How the Apostle Peter here specifically addresses the wife and then the husband. Likewise ye wives, he says, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation. That is the manner of life of the wife, the gracious living of the wife. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It is evident that the roles are quite different and distinct. The responsibilities are different. It's not only as we have it here in Peter's epistle, but many of you are familiar, I'm sure, with what the Apostle Paul also says, similar words at the end of Ephesians chapter 5. The roles are different. The responsibilities are different. But there's no superiority and no inferiority with regards to the man and the woman. Listen to the comments that Matthew Henry makes there at the end of Genesis chapter 2, where we have the account of God's creation of the woman of Eve. Matthew Henry says, as she was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side, to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. There is the relationship. How the husband is to love in that tender way his wife, to care for her, to provide for her, and how she is to be in subjection to him. That chaste conversation that we read of, coupled with fear. There is a certain mutuality here in the relationship between the husband and the wife. We know when it comes to salvation, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's true with regards to salvation, but when it comes to the relationship, there are these different roles that the scripture so evidently sets before us. And Joe and Anna, I urge you not to be forgetful of that biblical pattern. What do we read in the text? These words that I want to bring to you this afternoon: being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. What would hinder your prayers? Disobedience to the order of God, disobedience to the commands of God. Oh God, grant grace that you might be those then who will together seek his face and read and meditate in his word. And God be pleased to deal mercifully and graciously with us, each of us, all of us, as sinners. We concluded the reading there at verse 9, where we read of those called that they should inherit a blessing, or that we, each of us, might be those who are called to know that gracious work of God, that effectual call, that new birth, that we might find that we're those who can in truth call upon God and address him in sincerity as our Father which art in heaven. Well, the Lord be pleased to bless to us his truth. We're going to now sing our concluding praise, the last hymn on the sheet: Sovereign Ruler of the Skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command.
Oh, the Lord.
the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.